look up. Look way up. He sits alone atop the standings. Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
It's a Friday, the last one before Christmas. How about that? December 19th, 2014. This is Primetime Sports, Canada's most listened to sports talk presentation on the Sportsnet radio and television networks. The Friday roundtable is halfway done. Yours truly, Bob McCown, along with John Shannon to my left, Elliot Friedman to my immediate right, Scott Stinson to my far right from the National Post, making his debut on the program tonight. He's doing a fine job so far, although he can't get a word in edgewise with these two yappers here. Item: the Toronto Raptors have improved their record to 20-6 to start the season. It's their best start in franchise history, and now they've decided to change the logo. Elliot, you showed us the look of the new Raptors logo. Can we put it up on the screen? Can we get it up there? We're gonna show it to you if you're watching on television. For those of you who haven't seen it, and you may not have seen it. Oh, what's that? That's not it. Oh, there it is, beside the Brooklyn logo.
Because the Nets tweeted, looks familiar, after the Raptors put it out there.
Awkward.
That was actually pretty funny. I got a good laugh out of that.
I don't get it. I don't like it. I don't know why it needed to be changed. Do you like it?
I don't mind it.
Did it need to be changed?
Drake thought so.
Is Drake running this whole city now? Is he running the country?
I'm surprised he's not on the round table.
You know what?
Let's get him on the round table, Bob.
Why?
He wants to be on, Bob.
I don't think so.
I bet you he would.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then he's not coming on for sure.
God forbid we put anybody on this show who would want to be on this
You'll
show.
Have to beg a little bit more. Or a little bit, at least. Just,
I was more interested in the fact that how they did it, in the sense that there was no big reveal. Like, all of a sudden they put out some Facebook posting and it ended up on the back of it. And people were like, what? And then they admitted, yes, it's ours, because we realized if we tried to trademark it, it would have been leaked anyway. And now they're not going to use it again until next year.
Yeah, I'm not sure that was all entirely intentional, that it came out the way it did. Like, I mean, maybe their story is what it is, but it's quite a process. You have to apply to the league.
Sure.
Adidas, I think, whoever has the apparel contract, they trademark have to sign off on it, and there's all sorts of hoops you have to jump through.
Because I know in hockey, whenever somebody tries this, there's that website, Aesthetics. Yeah. It always gets them. Right. It always gets them and leaks them.
Well, and I mean, to Scott's point, it's at least an 18-month period from creation to execution. I was part of the organization when we went from, the dinosaur to the basketball with the claw, which I kind of liked. I liked the basketball and the claw.
I don't see what's wrong with it.
You know, it was a little different. It was practical, easy to use. But just the fact that it's so close to the Brooklyn logo and I hadn't seen it until now, that it does kind of bother me.
Well, look, this is all about sales, right?
Or publicity.
Publicity or sales.
But do they really need publicity?
It's about sales. And if you're getting Drake designing you a logo, you expect it's going to sell big.
And we know that it was Drake that designed it?
Oh, he had a hand. Involved
somehow.
He has involvement in it.
Because usually the NBA does all of the design themselves.
He said the other night at Drake Night.
He
talked about the rebranding, and you all are going to be very excited, and made it sound like he was definitely a...
Well, guess what, Drake?
Key figure.
No, we're not.
Yeah.
Well, you are...
I'm not.
This may surprise you, Bob.
Not Drake's
But you are audience. Not Drake's target audience. Do you remember when...
How does Drake even have a... Well, of course I'm not in his target audience.
Wait, are you asking how does Drake even have a target audience? Like, I know I'm unhip.
No, I'm not going to go down that.
I will freely admit it, but Bob...
What? Actually, Elliot, you're closer to the target audience than Bob is.
I know, that's true.
which is really scary.
But it's like if Drake is here, Bob is here, and I'm like there.
I have no issue with Drake and his target audience or any of you little Drakeites that are out there. What I don't understand is how some guy who happens to have front row seats, which he probably pays for but may not, suddenly is making decisions on marketing for the Toronto Raptors.
Well, look at who did all the Brooklyn Nets stuff.
I don't care who did Brooklyn.
Jay-Z. But he's an owner.
Yeah, but still.
He had a bit of an ownership but still, stamp
there. No,
he
but put money you, on the if table, you, didn't if you re- he? Not a lot. If you read about.
Well, whatever. Neither did Gretzky, but, you know.
If you read about how the Brooklyn Knights went through their whole rebranding. And
the Nets, the
Brooklyn
not the Knights. Knights.
Not the Nets, right. There was a great article in the New York Times about how about internally there were some issues initially about the fact that this guy who had a really tiny piece of it, Jay-Z, had such a huge effect on it and had such control over it. And when it was all over, they looked at it and they said, you know what? This guy knew what he was doing, as he usually does. And I think it's clear that what the Raptors are doing is they are banking on the same kind of thing here. They are banking on it.
The Drake
and the
thing,
sales will tell the story.
The Drake thing and the rebranding go back to Tim Leiwicki's arrival and saying, you know, what are some things we can do to spice up the Raptors?
Win games.
Well, but that's the thing. If the first thing you're doing when you're coming in, the things you can actually
they're
address
doing that, last
quickly is rebrand, bring in Drake, you know, do those sort of things. As it's turned out, the product on the court has turned around way faster than anyone expected. So now, frankly, the rebrand seems kind of unnecessary. Like, they don't really need to rebrand because it's working for them as is. But that those things were all set in motion when they were still terrible, which was only two seasons ago.
Yeah, I do get that, and I think it's a valid point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why are you going ahead with it? Why are you distracting from the product on the court, which is what ultimately sells the product anyway? They're 20-6. They're in first place in the East. They've been in first place since the first day of this season. Mm-hmm. It's never happened in the history of this franchise in 20 seasons. You've got the 20th anniversary celebration thing, whatever it is, going on. Why would you want to distract from any of that? Yep. Why are you doing this in the middle of this potentially epic season? It raises another issue for me, too, that we haven't talked about on this show. Maybe we should just very briefly. And that is the We the North concept.
Which really wasn't supposed to get introduced during the playoffs last year. It was supposed to come in September, but the feeling inside the organization was that it was so effective and so good, they brought it out for the playoffs.
I'm glad they did. I think it was the perfect time to launch it.
Agreed.
What I would have done is I would have put it back in the closet and bring it back in the playoffs at the end of the season.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't stop people from, you know, if they have flags or logos or T-shirts or whatever, if they're going to wear it, fine. But I would have, and I mean, there's the logo again with We the North at the top if you're watching on television. I would have mothballed that and bring it back. That would be my playoff kind of
similar
call
to the Red Wings
action.
And the octopus.
Yeah.
Similar that they bring out every April now as they bring out the purple octopus.
Well, it is an interesting question is when they get to the playoffs this year, which they obviously will they do anything to sort of try to, you know, announce a break in the season. Here we are. It's the playoff run. Last year there was We the North. They've already now leaked the new logo, so they can't do that as a postseason, you know, bells and whistles kind of thing. So they'll presumably try to come up with something, but they've kind of painted themselves into a corner in terms of the stuff they're doing marketing wise at this point.
So
they already had Drake Knight.
The existing logo is on the back
of Drake Knight in the playoffs.
It's on the back of the uniform, isn't it?
Drake Knight, by the way, in game two of the Eastern Conference.
He would like it, actually.
Yeah, sure he would.
So is the plan now, like tonight, their plan?
No, you're not, they won't be able to change
it
in Detroit
next year. They won't be able to do this until...
They can't change the logo on the uniforms until next year?
Yeah. And even then, I
mean, why announce it now? You know, I think it was... Bob, there's a good story there, a good question there, because it was clumsy. Like, it came out today very weirdly.
Or do they float this, gauge reaction, and say, you know what? We're going to change our mind. We're going to stay with the old one.
Like the Adirondack Flames logo that came out with
the mascot. It was the mascot.
That's right, the mascot.
The murdered firefighter.
With the dead firefighter?
Yeah.
Look, the Toronto Argonauts, I know, but the Toronto Argonauts have changed their logo God knows how many times on the helmet.
Sure.
I always like the big A.
I see. I like the football with the sail. That was
and the oars out the side.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when I was a kid.
All right, I don't mind that one too. Toronto Blue Jays changed their logo. Actually, almost changed the name of the team.
I know.
When Paul Godfrey was running the franchise.
96.
You know, we went to Jays. Yeah. We went to black uniforms.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hated those. Nothing made me happier than bringing back essentially.
Well, even the old uniform. Even the numbers went back to the old double line numbers. What is it? They have it's actually copyrighted by the Blue Jays.
Well, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. I don't buy logoed apparel anyway.
The question is, Bob.
This is, by the way, this is not a logo. Okay, let's get it straight.
Oh, God, I hate
this
that.
This is not a logo.
Thank you for
it's
reminding me of that.
What is it?
It's a shield.
It's the shield. It's not a shield. It's a logo.
It's a shield. Remember. Okay, Bob?
What's the difference?
I don't know.
but it's different?
They've said it's a shield.
Yeah,
it's not a logo.
I hate that.
What's the logo? The logo's the same? The shield is different.
Maybe that's how they get around this.
Is this like Coca-Cola when they went to Coke Classic?
Yeah, I think so. But you know, it could be. You know,
we'll see how it sells.
You know what? That's not working. We'll go back to the
or literally the reaction over the next 72 hours in social media. And Bob's actually he's convinced everybody under the age of 40 now that it's a nice logo.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like
just because I hate it.
Yeah.
Remember when Jim Hunt, when you were hosting with Jim Hunt, and they named the team the Raptors, and John Bitov came on the show, and he said, "Jim, what do you think of the name?" And he goes, "I think it's stupid." And Bitov goes, "Good. If you don't like it, the kids will love it." And that's exactly what is going to happen. Like, I remember what used to be the top-selling logo in the NFL when they were, before they ruined their franchise.
Cleveland Browns.
Oakland.
Oh.
The silver and black. And as a matter of fact, a lot of teams in all sorts of sports started going to black. And when the Nets did this a year or two ago, there was actually a report that the league didn't want teams to go to black because they were worried about the gang connotations, which the NBA said was not true. It's done well for the Nets, and if it does well for the Raptors.
I think the worst uniforms in all of the NBA are the Brooklyn Nets.
They're pretty boring.
Do you remember when the Utah Jazz looked like Coors Light beer cans? Those were the worst uniforms ever.
Or the Denver Nuggets, or the Vancouver Canucks several times.
There's lots of bad uniforms out there. Lots of bad logos out there. It's always the color scheme. I just thought Brooklyn was just a bore.
Look at the two, dynastic franchises in basketball. The Lakers jersey, for all effectives, it hasn't changed since they moved there from Minneapolis.
Although the Celtics have come out with some very weird third jerseys.
Yeah, I know.
No.
And the Celtics are still the Celtics.
Yeah.
I mean, that's magical.
I love everything else. I think they're great.
You know.
The thing I think is interesting with the Raptors situation is that if they hadn't have all of a sudden been good, they might have changed the name. I mean, this rebrand might have been go back to calling, because it's sort of to your point about the name of the Raptors.
That's an interesting
point. It was named at a time when a movie came out, and everyone talked about Jurassic Park, and it was very, frankly, ill-timed when you think about it in a grand scheme of history. So now you could be at a point where they said, all right, well, maybe that was a mistake. Let's go with something. You know, people mentioned Toronto Huskies, the hearkening back to the original franchise. Like, they might have been at a point where they would just blow it up and do a whole new thing, and frankly, had it not been for the last year and a half, they wouldn't have a whole lot that they'd be wiping clean in terms of great franchise memories. But now I think that's totally out the window because, Scotty, for me,
if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that was broke was what was on the court.
Yeah, ultimately we were used to the name Raptors.
How do you know it wasn't broke?
Was it?
Well,
did you not like it?
It's not that I didn't like it, but Bob, it's not a matter of whether we like it or not. It's a matter of does it sell or not.
Hey, listen, it started to sell when they started to win, Elliot.
Thank you. That's
the bottom line.
Well, the thing is, why it actually kind of makes sense that they did it this way. They're a winning team now. Right. So they win on the court first.
This is Lewicki with too much time on his hands. That's what this is about. I got nothing else to do. I've hired a bunch of guys to run each of the franchises. What am I going to do now? Let's change some logos. I mean, who knows whether Lewicki sat in a board of governors meetings or a board meeting and suggested they change the Maple Leafs logo or the colors on the Maple Leafs or who knows hey, what.
This, you can always sell Maple Leaf jerseys.
I was part of that group when Ken was the president and came in with the silver line, the outline of the jersey and the TML on the shoulders.
Oh, right.
The amount of controversy that created.
Oh, I remember
there you
that.
Go. I mean, my goodness gracious. That was but. No, quite frankly, to your original point, Scott, this team was ill-named anyway.
Right.
This should have been the Toronto Grizzlies, in my mind. You know, we were part of that whole...
We would have been like the Rough Riders, where... Well,
do you know what the number two name was?
Bobcats.
Thank you.
Now, I have to say, I am convinced that Bitov used to tell you that just to make you feel better.
I was actually...
Maybe.
We were part of the unveiling as the rights holder... the network I was working at that point, we were part of the unveiling. Bobcat.
You were at Leafs TV at that time, right?
No. I was at CTV at that point.
Were you?
The rights holder. Yeah, this was just after the Lillehammer experience,
and so can't keep track of your jobs.
Yeah,
John.
Neither can I. Just the paychecks. So it was Bobcats or Grizzlies or Raptors, and there was a fourth one which should have been Vancouver's name. Vancouver should have been the Dragons.
Oh, my God, that's terrible.
Oh, the Dragons was a great name.
Oh, that's awful.
But they were keeping the Dragons because at that point they were trying to convince New Jersey to change to the Mud Dragons.
Oh, that's even worse.
No, I'm just telling you why.
What's a Mud Dragon?
Well, remember...
It's a dragon that slops around in the mud.
Well,
it's a dragon that lives in New Jersey.
They were playing in the Meadowlands, okay? So they wanted the New Jersey Nets to become the New Jersey Mud Dragons. So they wouldn't give Vancouver the Dragons, and then they said the Grizzlies. I mean, Toronto and Bears is a lot closer. And Vancouver, I think...
I've never seen a Grizzly in my entire life. I've lived here most of it.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Okay.
When's the last time you opened up your back door?
I was
going to
say, at Bayview and Eglinton, there aren't many Grizzly bears.
Well, where are the Grizzlies that you've seen?
They're probably in Algonquin Park right now as we speak.
Toronto is not in Algonquin Park.
I think those are black bears. Okay. But, you know, anyway.
They're hibernating for the
winter.
Consult
my National Geographic.
Let's talk a little bit about basketball since we've wasted 17 minutes talking about logos and other crap that we can't do anything to change. Although I wouldn't surprise me if they change it back.
No way. Not if Drake's involved.
Hey, what's Drake's involvement when Tim leaves, though?
He says he's staying. He said the other night that Drake says he wants to be here for the long term if they'll have him. I can't imagine the next person comes in and punts him. That seems like a bad call.
Well, based on the logo, I don't know. This team has played well in the absence of their best player, arguably best player. You can make a case that...
1B.
Yeah. 1A, 1B. Now, granted, the quality of competition has not been stellar. Nonetheless... are we more impressed with this team as a result of the last 10 games and winning 7 of them without DeRozan? Are we more impressed than we were over the first 16 games and the record they put up then, which was approximately the same? Approximately. Yes, no, maybe?
I think that, you know, and it's funny, in the previous hour we talked about the Leafs not being able to beat inferior product like they... lost to Buffalo and lost to Carolina last night. I think the Raptors did a very good job of beating inferior product all year long. I think they're 11-1 against teams under 500. Mm-hmm. And that's important to be able to do. The question is when will they get challenged at a higher level when they face teams that are of their same ilk? They played Atlanta when they weren't very good. Atlanta's turned out to be pretty hot right now.
Mm-hmm.
Washington, they're going to have to face at some point.
They killed Washington.
I know, but Washington's pretty...
Before they were healthy.
Washington's now only one game behind the Raptors, and they lost it to a team that they're actually have a better record than in the Chicago Bulls. So to me, it's still a part of a learning curve for me for the Raptors and how they play. But at the same time, I've been more impressed since DeRozan got injured simply because they didn't. They don't have to rely on him. I think that's important for this team to learn.
You know, I remember the last time I was on here. You know, you said that the team hadn't faced adversity yet, and DeRozan got hurt that night.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, they face adversity now. He's not there, and they're still winning games. Like, all you can do is beat the teams you're put up against, right? The guy who's really impressed me this year is Lowry. And it's funny. If you remember last season.
I think he's impressed everybody.
Yeah, but remember last season when people were saying, you know, maybe we shouldn't give this guy the money because he might not have the same drive.
Right.
If he gets the big contract.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, has he really shoved that in people's face. Guy hasn't changed a bit.
No, he's still a bulldog. I mean, in this streak, they've been starting games with Landry Fields. He, like, physically cannot shoot the basketball. He has, you know, arm damage, nerve damage in his arm. I remember seeing him at the opening of training camp, and, you know, it's opening of training camp. Everyone talks about how great things are. He was totally depressing in that his arm wasn't recovering. You know, it was a struggle just to do what he could on the court, just but he would try to help out. I mean, they're starting him in these games because he's a better defender than some of their other options in lieu of DeRozan, and they're still winning. So, to me, that's a pretty remarkable testament on the depth that they have and the amount of things they can do with the pieces they have.
Well, I think it's a brilliant move on Coach Casey's part because it didn't upset the second
unit. Yep. Yeah, he's pushing all the right buttons in that regard. But to me, it's a bold move too, though, right? To be able to say, well, I'm going to put a starter out there that everybody on the floor knows isn't going to shoot. And we'll just figure out a way to work around that. And they have. And it's been pretty impressive.
Now, it's not quite playing shorthanded, I mean, but offensively, mm-hmm. it almost is. At what point do we acknowledge how good this team is?
I think you have to now.
I think you do, don't you?
When you're 20-6, you're not 20-6 because it's fluke. You're simply beating bad teams. You're 20-6 and you're doing it with one of your best players out of the mm-hmm. lineup. And you know, we have no idea when this guy is coming back.
None. I mean, it's clearly not until the new year, but new year could be like, it could be next October.
Are they one of the best teams in the league? I don't know if I'd go that far, but I think they're really good. And I think is it so unreasonable to think that this team could be an Eastern Conference representative? No, I don't
With
think
every
so.
Passing game, I become more convinced it's a possibility.
There's a lot to go. There's a lot that has to happen.
Yes.
They have a 10-game lead in the Atlantic.
But they're a good team.
So they won't finish. They won't be worse than the third playoffs.
Right.
Even if they fall apart. They're not going to lose the Atlantic.
Well,
they could get
fourth because the NBA, way the NBA works is different from the NHL, I think.
I'd have to check it.
If somebody else has a better record, they're only guaranteed fourth, not the top three.
So they'll be a home playoff team in the first round regardless.
Which is what they were last year.
Right. Didn't work out.
I just think they're better. They're
a much better team.
You know, the other thing, too, I was watching them the other night. I was thinking to myself, are they going to get Colangelo another job here?
Right.
Like, you look at the way this team is starting to unfold.
Well, most of the with due respect to the current general manager, most of these pieces are Brian's.
Well, you know, that's what I was, like, it's funny. Like, last night, if you're a basketball fan, you know that Phil Jackson was going at it with Barkley on Twitter during the game. And because Barkley's doing Bulls Knicks, and he's ripping the Knicks and how bad they are. And, you know, Phil Jackson's tweeting at him about how dumb Barkley is, and Barkley's saying, well, he's too old, he shouldn't be using social media. It was pretty funny stuff. And earlier in the day, I guess Chris Sheridan, one of the reporters, had one of his guys had published a story about how badly the Mavericks had hornswaggled the Knicks on the Tyson Chandler deal. And Jackson went after him too, saying, you know, trades take 3 or 4 years to work out. So I'm watching this, which is amazing to me. Like, Phil Jackson needs to relax. But at the time I was thinking about Colangelo and, you know, it didn't work in the short term, but in the long term, are people going to look at this team and say, you know what? He did a good job.
But I'd also say that he's been bailed out by the Rudy Gay trade, which Masai Ujiri pulled off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so much of why everybody said...
There's yeses and noes everywhere.
Yeah, so much as everybody said that Colangelo was doing a terrible job, and one of the reasons for that was that he went after Rudy Gay, which was like a Hail Mary to try to save his job. And everyone said, well, you don't need that guy. You've got other guys who play that type of role. But Ujiri was able to take that, what he had, turn it into a bunch of different guys and, you know, give DeMarzan a new role on the team, and all of a sudden everything fit. And from there, the team becomes the team it is now.
Yeah, but let's remember two things. There's two things you got to remember here. First of all, after that 4-19 start 2 years ago, the Raptors were a game over 500 the rest of the way. During that time, they trade for Rudy Gay. They come out the next year and they're 6-12 or something to start last year.
Something like that.
They were off,
right?
I mean, they went off the grid, off the rails.
At the time that trade was made, is anybody going to sit here and say you went, "Wow, look at what they got for him"?
No, that's true.
They got a bunch of guys who were basically on the bench for one of the worst teams in the NBA. The Sacramento Kings were terrible, and these guys couldn't start for them. That's what they got. They got what appeared to be a bunch of junk. What they did, really, and I love Masai Ujiri, but what he did is he got rid of a $22 million cap hit.
Yep.
That's what he did.
The salary dump.
It was a dump.
Yeah.
And he might have got
rid
of a
lot. And he got a bunch of pieces because in the NBA you got to match.
Yep.
So they just threw some crap on the table and say, here, take these guys. He said, okay, I can get rid of this guy who's under contract for the next couple of years.
But some of them have become pretty good members.
They've all become good members of the team. All of them, well, one of them's gone now, but they're all useful. But
at one point, you know, we're giving Colangelo credit and we're giving Ujiri credit. When do we start giving Dwayne Casey credit?
Well,
when do we start saying that's a given?
I think that's a given. I think the guy gets a lot of credit and
you
he deserves it. Yes,
oh God,
I do. I think he deserves it. But you know what? Like those guys, took a chance on him, and he validated their chance. He's done an unbelievable job.
But you remember when Brian was here, the difference between year one and year two of Casey was the first year Casey was here, he was running it his way, defense first, and the second year, you remember this, Bob, Colangelo tried to interfere a little bit and say you have to open it up. You know we have to start scoring a little more.
Well, he's a rookie head coach.
Well,
you know, the team wasn't playing well. I mean, I get all that stuff. I mean, I'm okay with it. Look at this guy. The guy right now, he's the coach of the year in the NBA. If the vote's today, he gets my vote. I know Golden State's had a great run.
I don't know. Yeah, Kerr.
Steve Kerr's pretty good.
Kerr might get it.
Probably got a lot of friends too.
Might in a tough conference. They've been great. Portland's been pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, do you go back to San Antonio? I mean, we know probably the best coach in the NBA is in San Antonio.
Right.
But coach of the year, he gets a lot of votes, right?
I can see that.
If they finish at the top of the East, then I don't think it's an absolute given.
You know, we're talking with the Maple Leafs saying that, you know, they got road trips. You know, the Raptors have this road trip coming up, and they've got a couple of tests on that, including Portland.
Oh, yeah.
Including Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Golden State
as well. So, yeah. I mean, this end of calendar year test for the Raptors might be one. It might be a different if they come back with double digit losses. They come back at double digit losses. We might be thinking differently about this club.
When we come back, have the dominoes begun to fall in Edmonton? They fire their coach. Is that the first one? Is there more to come, or are they just going to sit there like a bunch of lumps and let this team finish last? And what about the future of Paul Beeston? We'll address those topics and more when Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan.
Let's go!
Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand.
Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Three before the hour. McCowan, Shannon, Friedman, Stinson around the table. On Monday, the Edmonton Oilers dismissed coach Dallas Eakins. That was a week after Craig McTavish said he was not making a coaching change. Which leads me to believe that Craig McTavish didn't make a coaching change. Somebody else made the coaching change and allowed him to announce it. There's a million places we can go with this, but let's start with Bob Nicholson, who was hired 6 months ago, give or take, as the, I don't even know what his title is, like vice chairman
of Oilers Entertainment Group.
OEG.
All right. Do we believe that Bob Nicholson is there to act as the owner's eyes and ears and ultimately make suggestions as to the overall direction that this franchise goes?
No.
Or is he just there to do business stuff?
Let me, what I think has happened, I think his job has morphed. I do think he was initially hired to look at OEG on a larger stage beyond the hockey world, in the arena business, in other potential sports businesses, maybe in to partner with AEG at some point to create some opportunities for people in Edmonton. And to do an analysis of the business side of the Edmonton Oilers. And I think what has happened in the last month has the phone has rung and it's Daryl. Yes, Daryl. I need you to do an analysis of the hockey side too. Really? Yes. Okay. And that's what he's doing. So that's basically an increase in his responsibility, a change in his job description. And I think that's what's happened.
100% agree. You asked earlier what's going to happen with them. Are they just going to go to 30th? I think they're going to see where the season takes them. And if it ends up being Connor McDavid, it'll end up being Connor McDavid. What are you playing for now? You want to see your guys play hard, but is there any point to finishing 25th?
Are McTavish and Lowe back next year? Dead quiet.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
Look.
I don't think. Listen, will they be employees of Oilers Entertainment Group next year? Yes, they will be. They will be employees. Will they have the same responsibilities? I think that's up for grabs.
The ground has already shifted, right? As John said, I don't know. I honestly, people have said that Daryl Cates is loyal to those guys.
So.
Like you would not believe. Like Kevin Lowe offered to resign last year, and it was rejected. But if Daryl Cates is going to take the step to say to Bob Nicholson, you got to take a bigger role here to figure out what's going on. I think everything is on the table.
Is the fact that all the tickets are sold the issue for Cates? Is he satisfied that the tickets are sold?
No.
But there's 2,000 empty seats in the arena. Scott?
Well, I don't. Clearly, he's not a guy who's totally upset by the results on the ice because he allowed the same management team that's been there for quite some time to, you know, blow a coach out of there and
take another
over behind,
coach.
Yeah, take over behind the bench. And so if the idea was I'm totally unhappy with the direction of this franchise, I think you do more than just punt the relatively inexperienced coach and replace him with a guy from the AHL, which is exactly where Dallas Eakins came from. So that seems like an odd solution if it's simply a case of I can't stand what's happening on the ice. So I have to assume he's ultimately okay with the people he's got in charge of the team.
For now.
I think what's really interesting with the Oilers will be to see what happens for the rest of the year. I mean, they're sort of the anti-Maple Leafs in that it seems from the, you know, the quote-unquote fancy stats that they were actually much better than their results so far this year. They weren't nearly as awful as their ultimate on-ice production was. So they might be a team that just rebounds by the sheer, you know, fact of randomness.
Have you seen, other than that little win streak they had, you know, 5 or 6 games into the season, have you seen anything that suggests that, though?
Well, again, it gets back to that thing of if you look at their shot differential numbers relative to last year, they've gone upward. But, you know, they were terrible in that regard last year. They're now bad.
Yeah, but
you know, so they might be able to all of a sudden be a team that's like mediocre-ish for the last part of this season without even any great changes. If their goaltending is like even moderately better, it's been terrible. If it gets to be decent, then you know they could all of a sudden be in a situation where they're not the disaster they have been so far, and then probably all these guys' jobs are relatively safe. If they play like they have so far and they're a complete train wreck, then I got to assume at some point, whether it's the owner or Nichols or whoever, they'll eventually say, well, we need to, you know, change a whole bunch of things and start the rebuild anew. Because by that point, they'll have a pick like McDavid or Eichel in hand.
Well, you know, I don't want to sit here and nag on analytics. But numbers don't play the games.
But you're going to.
Well, numbers don't play the games. Players play the games. And you can sit here. You can sit here and say that Ben Scrivens has been horrendous. Yep. Ben Scrivens has been bad. I don't care what numbers are. He can't stop the puck. Last night was another great example. They had a 3-2 lead in the third period. Ben Scrivens couldn't stop the puck. Mm-hmm. Justin Schultz has been embarrassing to himself all season long. He came into this league with huge offensive potential, and they were going to try to teach him to play defense. Well, they haven't been able to teach him to play defense, and his offensive potential has disappeared. So what's wrong with him? They have overgaged a lot of their own players. Do they have a number one center? They might have a good number two center in Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, but do they have a number one center? And beyond that, they've
well,
had
not
a,
yet. He isn't.
Well, Bob, but he's now on.
I think
his
he's
second,
the one guy this year that's actually
he's had a very good. He's had a pretty well. Good year. Yeah.
That's I mean, why I think he's yeah,
he's the he's one guy
on
this
the way
year
to being
that,
back.
That, no, you haven't looked at and said he's been worse.
I am not picking on Ryan Nugent-Hopkins because he's been. Having sat in the studio and watched these games a great deal, he's been the saving grace to this hockey club this year. But they have also overjudged some of the talent of people they have signed. They've also had some bad luck with players getting hurt at the inappropriate time. But a lot of it is beyond the numbers. It is that they've had players that they judged that were better than they are. They think they have a number two, three, four defenseman. They have four fours, a five, and a six. That's what they have. And when, you can't play in this league with that inconsistency every night and expect to win any games. And they have proved that.
I think all options are on the table there, Bob.
Yeah,
I really do.
I have no idea which way they're going to go. But I think if this management team sticks with this core and finishes last in the Western Conference, whether they finish last overall in the NHL or not, if they keep going in the direction they're going in right now, you got to make change at the top. You can't stick with this group. You can't keep them there under the wish, the hope that somehow these players by themselves will figure this thing out.
I don't think anybody there is assuming that anymore.
No.
I think what – it's just that if I was in charge – I would wait to see what my pick is. Because, for example, if we finished dead last as a team and I was coach and I was running it, knowing that I'm getting Connor McDavid changes the moves I would make as opposed to if my team finished 28th and I knew I was getting the defenseman.
What position does Connor McDavid play?
Center.
That makes a difference, right?
Of course, absolutely.
Sure he does.
Do I know I'm getting, like, for example, say I finished 30th, I know I'm getting Connor McDavid. If I finish 28th,
well, you don't know, but
well, you get the first pick, so you know you're in
well,
control.
You have most of, you have a better chance of lottery.
If I get the first pick,
right. We understand what you're saying.
Then I know I control the draft. I know what I get. But all of a sudden, say I end up with the third pick, I know I'm getting a defenseman, likely not a center, and that may change the moves I decide to make with my team. So I would wait. Before changing the team,
right.
I would wait to see where I'm picking.
The problem goes to a situation that a lot of other teams have faced over the last two decades, is that they have been promised stuff. They have promised growth. They have been promised getting closer and closer to the playoffs and closer to a new arena. So they've had these two emotional roller coasters in Edmonton.
Yep.
New arena coming, young team. They're going to meet in 2017, and man, life is going to be great. Well, you know what? That's not the case right now. New arena's coming, and now, well, maybe that team isn't going to be what we thought next year or the year after that. And that becomes a really frustrating point for a very passionate, hardcore fan base because they've been asked to be patient since 2006. Right.
Yeah. I also wonder if they can be patient, you know, for the rest of this season. Can they wait until they find out where the draft pick is?
You know right? what? Like, that you just reach seems a point like, where you cannot run a team like a fan. You cannot. just because your fans are frustrated right now, you can't make a move that's going to make the, that's going to make them feel even worse in 3 years.
So 8 weeks from now, they're still terrible.
You have to ride
it
out.
You just say, hey,
and you got to ride it out.
And to be honest, I think that's where Craig McTavish and Kevin Lowe, and I guess to a lesser extent, Bob Nicholson's biggest job is to manage the owner so that who is, let's face it.
Who has already once interfered when they drafted.
But is a hardcore hockey fan.
Yes.
Is a number, you know, grew up in Edmonton, loved the Oilers, waited for his time to buy the club when he became a billionaire, and now it's his team, and he's going to surround himself with his young, his idols, boyhood idols of Kevin Lowe and Craig McTavish, and bring Mark Messier back into the fold, and have Wayne Gretzky do his 30th anniversary. This is his lifelong dream. But now he has to do what he does on the drugstore side. Mm-hmm. Let the Rexall executives run the Rexall stores. Now he's got to let the hockey guys run without.
Well,
the
what he has to what he I think what he's done is he by bringing in Bob Nicholson, he's brought in a guy to create that.
He's getting closer, Bob.
He's brought in a guy to create that buffer mm-hmm. between he and I don't know that I think you're right. He couldn't fire those guys.
No.
But Nicholson can. If Nick thinks that's the right decision and recommends it, he now has a guy there that can be the bad guy, if you wish, if Bob Nicholson can even pretend to be a bad guy. We'll see. We got about 2 minutes here. Some quick things. Jimmy Clausen will start for the Chicago Bears. The significance of that to almost anybody is zero, except to Mark Trestman, who's trying to save his job. If a miracle happens and Clausen wins the last two games, does Trestman save his job?
Well, I think he would prove that the problem has been Jay Cutler refusing to play the system that Trestman wants to play. That's the sort of unspoken part here, is that he's basically going to a guy who will do the plays as called and not be whatever Jay Cutler is, which is kind of sour. Will he ultimately save his job? I don't know. I mean, it's also like to point out, it seems highly unlikely that Jimmy Clausen is suddenly going to.
Strikes me as a lot of people blaming other people for mistakes and trying to run and say, it's not me. I wasn't at fault.
I mean, the thing is, they were actually a good team last year, right? I mean, Trestman comes in and it's like, ooh, CFL offense. They scored a ton of points and then it's just all gone horribly this year. So I wouldn't be, you know, shocked if there'd be people in that organization that think he's still a capable coach. The problem is they've got Jay Cutler under contract for $19 million a year for at least another year after this, guaranteed.
So, $31 million over the next two.
Yeah. That's hard to move. But
sources say that's a lot.
Insiders tell me.
I could like to try to
that's
move.
Hard to train.
I'd like to try to move $31 million
quickly. So, I mean, does anyone really think Jimmy Clausen's going to suddenly come in and be great for two games? No, but you know, maybe they're at least halfway effective as an offense, and it sort of maybe that's enough to put the pressure back on Cutler to say you got to fall in line because obviously we know what we're doing here.
Well, if I'm Trestman, I think it's a brilliant move. He sees his job is ending.
Yeah, he's done.
And the only way if Clausen comes in and wins these last two games, boy, if I'm the general manager or the owners. I'm thinking, maybe I give him another shot. Maybe it was all this quarterback thing. You know, Trestman didn't
hat in Jimmy Clausen.
He didn't.
I think there's no chance of this happening. It's a smart move.
Sure, Mark Trestman didn't become dumb overnight.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a smart guy.
Yeah.
We got to get out of here. But it should be noted, we mentioned this the other night on the air when it came by. The St. Petersburg City Council rejected the Rays Stadium search deal. They requested the opportunity to go to Tampa and find a site and see if they could pull together a deal to build another stadium in Tampa. By rejecting that deal, throws all kinds of things into question. Perhaps not the least of which is, are there people from Montreal sniffing around now? Hmm. It'd cost you a boatload to get out, but at least it's possible. And I don't know if this owner wants to keep this franchise in St. Pete. We got to get out. You guys have yourselves a swell weekend. Thanks, Scotty, for joining us.
Thanks
for
having
me. Did a nice job. Come back again. Have a nice weekend. See you Monday here on Primetime.